If you have your Bibles tonight, Philippians chapter 2. Well, my heart was just overwhelmed tonight. You know, I remember coming here 35 years ago when you begin to have, you have dreams, goals. And it was not fun for the first few years. But tonight, seeing those kids sing, encouraged my heart. Future's bright. And then, tonight before the service, I walked up and the orchestra pit was full. It's a dream of mine. I just want to thank everybody that's in the orchestra. Wow, encouraged my heart. Choir was full. To praise the Lord. To bring honor to his name. It's not about us. It's not about this church. It's not about this building. It's not about individuals. It's about him. And to see people playing there, and then to see tonight the group up here. You know, I mean, the guys singing. I was more relieved to see that Joseph took my place. I was just so thankful. I was just thrilled beyond words when I saw him up here singing and all the pastors singing. Just great job. And then I thought this was an ODAX piece. And then I saw Eddie Moore and I said, that's not ODAX. I know that. But to hear them play, and then Eric to be here to pray in our service and his family and see Holly doing well. I'm just thrilled. I remember visiting the hospital, you guys. And I'm just so thankful for the Lord's goodness. I see what the Lord's doing with them and with so many others. And, you know, this year we'll lose Laura Adams to go to Cambodia. She finishes her PhD, is going to go over and plant a church. What a joy. I'm just so, Lord, thank you. And then Allison comes up here and sings. I worked with her all afternoon on that song. I just want you to know, just too many blessings. Just so thankful. And you know, tonight, Philippians chapter 2 is sandwiched from 1 to 3 about the thought of joy and how easily we'd lose our joy in this life. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 26 of chapter 1. Now, remember where Paul is? Where's Paul tonight in this passage as he's writing? He's in a Roman prison that Nero's put him there, and he's not long for this life. He's soon to die for preaching the gospel. And he says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. For me, he says, I want you to rejoice. Notice he says, I want you to have the joy of the Lord in your heart. You'll notice in chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You're rejoicing in me, and you're rejoicing in the Lord. And in verse chapter 2, it's like, don't lose it. You've got joy, and the book of Philippians is about your joy. Now, folks, we can lose our joy. Circumstances can steal our joy. Something happens at work. Maybe a promotion's not imminent, and we had really looked forward to it, and it just kind of pops our bubble. Or somebody says something about us. People can ruin our joy. And all of us in this room, we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. But we can't do that without chapter 2. And you'll notice, if you would, pride is the cause of the loss of joy. Pride can cause us to have unrest, to have contention. This isn't fair. He doesn't deserve. I deserve pride. And so in chapter 2, he's trying to give them the formula, the Philippians here, he's trying to give them the formula for sheer joy consistently. Notice, if you would, in chapter 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if you have any comfort in Christ, life is difficult, then you think about the goodness of the Lord and it comforts your heart. If any comfort of love, if any comfort of the love of Christ, if there's any comfort that Christ loves you, it ought to give you a sense of, well, everything's going to be okay because I know Jesus loves me. You know, everybody in the world can turn from you and away from you. And if you remember Paul, he's in prison. He doesn't have a lot of friends. Demas hath forsaken me. I've been loved this present world. Diotrephes is talking about him. And all of a sudden now he's looking at it and he says, oh my. And he said, but Jesus loves me. If there's any consolation in Christ. And so when you and I get discouraged and get down, remember Jesus. Remember how much he loves us. You'll notice he says, if there's any comfort, consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, of his love for you, notice, if any comfort of the love and if any fellowship of the Spirit. Now that's all Paul's got, is the fellowship of the Spirit. I want everybody in this room to have such a connection with the Lord Jesus, that every morning, every evening, when you spend time with the Lord, and everybody in this room ought to have some time during the day. Now, how many times did Daniel meet with the Lord? 3 times a day. And so the people around him knew it. I mean, he would get out and he would take some time in his own home and he would pray and talk to the Lord. I don't know how they knew it. But he opened the windows of his home and they apparently heard him praying or talking to the Lord and thought it strange as they walked by. And who's he talking to? Wow. Sounds like he's talking to a God. And that connection, that comfort, you'll notice that fellowship of the Spirit. And folks, we cannot have fellowship with the Spirit of God in our heart. Now, everybody that's trusted Christ as Savior, you know we're given the Holy Spirit. The moment we trust Christ, the Spirit of God indwells us. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And so the Holy Spirit's in our heart, but he has a way for us to go. He has a plan for us to go. Our footsteps, he's got some guidance for us. But we don't have to do that. We can choose our own way. And so there's no fellowship with the Spirit. He said, look, if there's a fellowship with the Spirit, you're going the same direction. And that's what I want for everybody in this room. You can't have fellowship with the Spirit unless you spend time with the Holy Spirit. Unless you take time to say, Lord, could I talk to you for a minute? And it's as simple as, I want to read some, Lord, would you speak to my heart through your word? And many a time you sit down and you begin to read God's word and the Holy Spirit begins to bring it forth to you. You know, a friend of mine wrote a book, Hamilton, his name Bruce. He is a pastor in Alaska, above the Arctic Circle. And he'd been there for probably 30 years. And his father founded the church, and he took it over, pastoring it. I graduated from college, went up and pastored. And he would go on various hunting trips. And so he wrote a story that was based in truth about a trip that he took. And then he added a lot to it, but it was about presenting the gospel. And as I began to read that book, I said, wow, that's cool. A bear got after him, and he did this, and he did that. True stories. It wove into the storyline of someone that had that trusted Christ after all the difficulties they had making it through the tundra of Alaska, and he ended up trusting Christ as Savior. As I was reading that book, I said, wow, Bruce, really? Wow, because I knew the author. It was different. You know the author. He loves you. But unless you and I think about it and develop a fellowship with the Spirit of God, our joy can be stolen from us so easily. Daniel, thrown into the lion's den. And the only person who didn't get any sleep that night was the king. It wasn't Daniel. He went right to sleep. There's a trust in the Lord, a comfort in the will of God for him. He knew the Lord was going to take care of him. He didn't know how. Have you thought about getting thrown into the lion's den? You know, the Bible says whenever the men were found out that set Daniel up, they were thrown in the lion's den. They didn't even hit the bottom, and they were chewed apart. Here, Daniel thrown into the lion's den. I can imagine if the lions stayed on their side, Daniel stayed on his side. I picture in my mind, maybe one of them came over and laid down, and the angel said, here, over here. And he laid down and had a nice, cushy bed. I think a lion's mane would be pretty soft if you didn't have to worry about getting eaten. And I don't know how it was, but Daniel got a good night's sleep, and the king wakes up and says, Daniel, is your God able? And he said, oh, king, my God is able. Oh, the fellowship with the Spirit allows you and I to go through things other people cannot with joy. But there has to be a time when you and I develop that fellowship. My wife and I, you know, been married a short time, and it's been sheer joy. Well, I know the things that she likes now. And so when we're coming home from church, a lot of times, I would say, hey, I know what she likes. She likes a Chick-fil-A ice cream cone. They're $2, and I can afford that. So I will say after church on Sunday night, hey, would you like a Chick-fil-A ice cream cone? Yeah, let's go. Chick-fil-A's not open on Sunday night. And so we'll maybe go to McDonald's. I know she likes ice cream. I do too. And so there's this camaraderie, this fellowship. Hey, what would you like to go tonight? What would you like to do tonight? And we're doing things together, and there's this fellowship. It is so sweet. It's what God intends. But both of us pray for the Lord to let our fellowship with him be greater than what we're enjoying with each other. That's what God wants for you. Everybody in this room. But you've got to spend some time with him. He said, if there's any comfort in the fellowship with the Spirit of God. Notice what he says. If any bowels of mercy, if there's any compassion or mercy that you have in your heart. He said, notice, fulfill you my joy. And here he says, if you're fellowship with the Spirit, if there's a joy in your heart, if there's a comfort in your heart, if you're doing well with Christ, notice he says, would you fulfill my joy? And after, I guess, kind of got overwhelmed a little bit tonight, the joy of all the blessings of God. I see people growing in the Lord, and I my heart is just overjoyed. I see Eric and Holly here, their children, and I see visitors, and the Lord just overwhelms my heart. And I look here, and he says, would you fulfill me my joy? Paul's in prison. He's a lot different than I am. Notice what he says. Here's the key. He said, that ye be like-minded. That you have the same goals that I do. Would you fulfill my joy? And would you have the same mindset that I have? Would you put the Lord first? And that's what I want for everybody in this room. That's what he wants. Would you, the joy, Paul says, look, would you fulfill my joy? Notice this. That you would have the same love. That you would love the Lord like I love the Lord. That you would love people like I love people. I want to see people saved. Folks, missions is really the heartbeat of our church. Why? Because I want to tell you what. When I go to a mission field, whether it be New Guinea or above the Arctic Circle or in Africa someplace, wherever it might be, I see people that unless that missionary is there, they don't hear the gospel. They don't hear the love of Christ. And Paul said, I want you to have the same love that I have for people. I want you to have the same love for the Lord. That would be my joy. Would you fulfill my joy? I'm in prison, but he said, oh, you're my joy. You know, a mother and a father know what it's like to have the joy of their children when they do what's right, when they honor the Lord, when they trust Christ as Savior, when they're baptized all of their own accord, when they surrender their heart to the Lord. That brings joy to parents that you cannot buy for all the money in the world. And you'll notice he says this, look, having the same love, being of one accord. Now, last week, remember, these are soulmates. Of one accord is having the same soul. It's not just we think alike, we have the same passions. It's a love for Christ. It's a love for each other. It's a love for those less fortunate than us. When I say less fortunate, not necessarily financially, but spiritually. They didn't grow up in a Christian home. They didn't have the privilege of seeing parents that want to serve the Lord and do what's right, and they did it. They don't have the pattern that we have, maybe, or that we're trying to develop in our homes. Notice what he says. He says, being of one accord, and then he repeats it, of one mind. We think alike. It is so important that Christians think alike with this as their guide. It's not that Temple has this list of tenets that all of us at this church would do it because of this list of tenets. That's a cult. But true doctrine is the word of God that all of us can look at it and see it and say, that's what I'm looking for, some Christians that think like this. And so as we get together in a local church, then we begin to make a difference in the lives of people. We're of one mind. It is thrilling to see people get together and faith promise. We all have one heart and one mind. We want to send missionaries around the world to people that don't get a chance to hear like we do. So we'll give extra. We'll sacrifice. And you know, the world doesn't understand. The world doesn't understand faith promise. You know, my accountant years ago, he stopped saying it now, but years ago he says, you know, you're giving too much to get credit for it on your tax form. And I said, like, what does that matter? And he looked at me and says, well, you can give a little less next year because you gave so much this year. I said, I'm not giving for the IRS. I'm going to stand before the Lord. I'm investing in heaven. I'm investing in the lives of people to hear the gospel. Oh, it's like a foreign concept. But it shouldn't be a foreign concept with us. All of us are sacrificial. You can't get $500,000 almost out of the group right here above our tithes and offerings. You can't do that unless we have one mind. Notice if you would here, we can't get people like Eric and Holly to go. I mean, how many have ever been to Cambodia? Oh, wow, that's a different place. And how about Honduras? Wow. Or Egypt. My wife and I are going to Egypt for a special event, and I'm leave me on. Don't take me off. I'm not going to mention any names. But our missionary in Egypt and a special event there. And I talked with one of them this week, and I says, well, are we going to be safe? He said, oh, yeah. That was not comforting. So you know what I had to do? I say, Lord, we're going to go, but would you let us, you take care of us? But that's where you're supposed to do it anyway. Trust in the Lord. Notice if you would, he says of the same mind. Now notice here, here's the key. We're going to stop in this verse, but I want you to notice where he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing be done where you're argumentative about it. Now, you know, I'm so thankful for our church family. This piano, that piano. When we bought those pianos, nobody complained. Nobody says, well, I want a, and they picked another title, another kind. You know, I don't know much about pianos. I know I wanted a concert grand piano, but I didn't know what that was. Is it 9 feet long, 8 feet long, 6 feet long, 12 feet long? I don't know. Well, it's 9.5 feet long in the Bussendorfer. It's 9 feet long in the Yamaha. And it's 9 feet long with a Segura, with a Kawai. But the Kawai has a darker sound and the Yamaha has a brighter sound, more like heaven. And this one has a, I don't know what kind of sound. It's just pretty. But you know what? Nobody says, well, why did you get that? Got all the music people together, sent them different places, and they played, I like this one. Oh, I like that one. Okay, let's get that one. Of one mind. I can follow because I don't know. I know that one has got some extra keys on it. Have no idea why. But it does. Scott, you know why extra keys on that piano? I see Scott go like this, and I see Christina go like this. Well, that's a good thing. She's a pianist. That's a good thing. They're so far down there, I think you have an extra arm to get to them. But it does sound great. I mean, it's wonderful down there. But you know what? Music is important to our church. So you can't have a $50 piano up there. But it costs a lot of money. And everybody's on board. Of one mind. Now, you'll notice it says, let nothing be done through strife. Don't argue about things and fuss about things. What is the author of contention? Pride is the author of contention. Well, I want. Well, I would like this. It always starts with I. And so you'll notice he says, Paul said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I would like to have a little attention. Not that anybody would dare say that, unless you're an athlete. Now, if you're an athlete, you want the attention. You want the credit so you can get a bigger contract. That's sort of the way it is, and so I can people know me better. There's a lot in that in athletics. And so he says, don't let vainglory be a part of your life. Vainglory is glory that's for you and not for him. It's glory that's temporal. It lasts here but not there. It's real simple. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, but in lowliness of mind. Now, this word is in the Greek text is a 6-syllable word. It has got a lot to it. But it literally means not rising very far from the ground. You're praying with the Lord, and when you think about other people, you don't get very high. They're more important than I am. That's this word, lowliness of mind. It's literal. You feel like you're less important than everybody else. And he said, let things be done and you have lowliness of mind. Boy, could that change our marriages if I considered sweet Janet as more important than myself. And that's the way I considered it. And it gets changed if you and I put others before ourselves. Notice what he says. He said, but in lowliness of mind. In other words, the position of your heart is, I am not as important as Terry Steele. I'm not as important as Christina. I'm not as important as Chase. That's the mindset you start out with. And then notice he says, let each esteem other better than themselves. Boy, that is hard to do with flesh. Because we all think we're important. So he gives an example. Verse 5. Now, we're not going to go there. We're going to end with verse 3, the thought. But notice, let this mind be in you. That half of the verse goes up. The bottom half of the verse goes down, which was also in Christ Jesus. And from there down, he explains the mind of Christ. But he said, let this mind be in you. Upwards, this lowliness of mind, let that mind be in you. Oh, by the way, it was in Jesus too. Now, that means that how many of you have ever thought about, why did that person park in that spot? I wanted that spot. Don't raise your hand, but you're driving up and somebody pulls in the spot. Anybody ever thought about, don't raise your hand? I told this story a couple times, but there's a lady in Dallas, elderly lady, and she was at the mall and she was driving into a spot and she's driving her Cadillac in, and a young man in a beautiful Corvette, brand new, zips in front of her. He closes the door and walks by and says, that's what happens when you're young and fast. And so she backed up, put it in drive, and ran into the back of that plastic car, and all of the fiberglass began to fly all over the place. And she backed up again, and he turned around and saw it and starts running up and says, lady, what are you doing? Lady, what are you doing? She hits it again, and the third time she rolled down her window. There's not much left of that Corvette. And she rolls her window down, and she says, that's what happens when you're old and rich. That's what happens, both of those, when you don't have the mind of Christ. We might have that thought, but we control it and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want that thought. A parking spot's not important. A lane is not that important. A position is not that important. The mind of Christ says, think of others before yourself, because we're just here for a little while. We're here to make a difference eternally. And you can't make a difference stepping on somebody else. You can't make a difference taking advantage of somebody else. Oh, there have been times I had to go to somebody and apologize. Say, look, I'm sorry I did that. I was trying to put me before you. Would you forgive me? Some of the most uncomfortable apologies in all the world. But you recognize yourself sometimes as, I wanted that, and so I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? This is to be our mindset all the time. Others first. Others first. I want to close with this thought. Well, it's actually the scripture. I'm just going to read it to you. And I want you to hear this. It was a queen. She had no reason for herself to do such a thing. But there's been a death sentence applied to the Jewish people, and she's a Jew. Nobody knows it. And so she's the queen, and she's got life made. She's got the best of all the attire, of the food, of respect. All the women of the Persian world, worldwide kingdom, wanted to have her place. She was first lady in all the world at that time. And Mordecai, her uncle, is praying. They're all praying. She's praying. Lord, deliver our people. The date is fast approaching when everybody's going to destroy the Jewish people. Lord, it would be my uncle. It would be my aunt. It would be all of my cousins. It would be everybody. Lord, please do something. And Mordecai writes her a note and says, Esther, maybe you were placed in the position of queen for such a time as this. And she thinks for a minute. And he says, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, Then shall their enlargement, their protection and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, because God's going to take care of us with or without you. But I think you're the person that God's going to use to go into the king and ask for mercy. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And so she pauses and thinks, me first or them first? Me first or them first? A mother may think that, a father may think that, my family before me or my promotion or my dreams. Who's first? Paul said, fulfill you my joy and put others first. Go gather together, she says, all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, day or night, lest fast and pray. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, which is not according to law. I haven't been invited into the king's presence in 30 days, and if I go in and he doesn't put out the golden scepter, they take me out and slay me. Others have been slain. Just last week, someone was slain. I don't know what kind of mood the king's in, but I will go in. It'll be you before me, and said, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. That's the attitude of lowliness of mind. Other people first. Folks, tonight, let's have the attitude that God wants us to have. That it doesn't have to, I don't have to have what I want, but I want them to have what they need. Christ. The Christian walk. I want my friends to have a friend. Even though it's not me, I want them to have a friend. Put yourself not very far off the ground and think about other people. Let this mind, others first, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Father, not my will, but thine be done. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he died for us. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Tonight, others first. Let's bow our heads for the prayer tonight. I ask the pianist to come and just play a verse of invitation hymn. We'll not sing tonight. We will stand in just a moment. I have a word of prayer. We'll stand. And I'll ask the pianist to play. Maybe you need to come to this altar and just talk to the Lord tonight. Lord, help me to have your mind. Lord, help me to have the mindset you had. Lord, help me to have fellowship with the Spirit. Would you sweeten my times of devotions? Lord, would you allow me to draw up close to you? Lord Jesus, give me the same direction you're going. Lord, help me to get on board with you. It doesn't matter if you're 6 or 60. We all need the fellowship of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts tonight. If there's one here tonight that's never trusted you as Savior, they don't have the hope of heaven in their heart, would you help them to come so I can share with them what you gave to me and they too can trust you as Savior? Lord, I know better than anybody in this room. Lord, only by the grace of God do I know you as Savior. And that same grace can be given to everybody in this room. Lord, I pray that you'd save anybody here that's not sure of eternal life. And then, Lord, those that are your children, trusted you as Savior. Give us the mind of Christ, your mind tonight. Give us the fellowship of the Spirit. In your precious name and for your sake, we ask it. Amen.